And we are off and running on a Wiley Wednesday edition of Let's Talk, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. You found us. Congratulations.
If you're streaming.
Buckle up for the next couple of hours. Phone line is open and available at 814-954-7266. That's 814-954-7266.
Now, in the old days, we'd be cooked, all right, because a number of you have probably discovered our FM signal is down this morning. Transmitter issue. We got somebody checking it out. Hopefully, they'll get it all fixed up here, you know, pretty soon. But if you're listening, obviously, you are streaming, which is something we couldn't do in the old days. All right, we just couldn't. We'd be sitting here twiddling our thumbs. Now, we're still twiddling
La-di-da.
Our thumbs, but
yes.
we're talking to you.
Hey, you got to do what you're good at.
That's what I was always told.
I got
big-time thumbs.
Yes,
here,
indeed.
Right? Now, another good piece of news is, now, hopefully you know this, all right, you've been to our website, right, 987thefox.info. First off, you see the streaming buttons are all over the website.
Oh, look at those buttons.
We put a bunch of them down. So you
guys are always pushing my buttons.
All right, so you I just had a mental image.
Oh,
the buttons are everywhere, so yeah. we don't make it a secret that you can easily stream us at any time, all right? We also record at least this program, all right? Not all of our shows. This program we record and we post on the website under the Let's Talk page.
Look at us.
We are recording right now.
We're just a couple of recording fools is what we are.
Fools is a good word.
Well, yeah.
So we will be posting the show on the website later this morning or late morning. So for those folks that always listen to us on FM and, I don't know, you don't have a smartphone, you don't have access to a computer, something like that, you can listen in to this great program at a later time. All right, because we do have a guest that's going to join us at 9 o'clock. It's our friend Elaine Beck from State College Food Bank.
Actually, for those people, let me just open the window here.
What are you doing?
Good morning, everybody! Happy Wednesday!
Okay, no, please, don't do that.
You don't think that's going to work?
You're going to break the window.
I thought that might...
You're going to break.
Maybe a little louder? Let me try. No.
Okay. Now, if you want to go out in the hallway, okay, give it a try.
All right.
That's fine. Anyway, so we will be posting today's show, and our friend Elaine Beck from State College Food Bank is going to join us at 9 o'clock. Hate to say this, but apparently the food bank had a record year last year, and that is not a good thing.
No.
That means more and more people are in need. And now, with the recent, you know, activities, tariffs, craziness, chaos, whatever you want to call it, we asked Elaine if she would come in. She said, great, to get an update from her perspective on how all this stuff is affecting those folks. And I thought about contacting Elaine almost a week ago. I thought, oh, we got to get an update because we haven't had Elaine on the show in a while. And then Center Daily Times runs a story. I'm like, I got scooped. All right, that's fine. I got scooped. No big deal. So Elaine is going to join us at 9 o'clock. We're going to get an update. Good news, bad news, whatever news from their particular perspective. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. All right. Let's tell us some things. Now, I tell you what. Now, here's something. How do I start this? I am a regular blood donor. All right. I've been doing this for years because, I don't know, it's just one of those. We had a guest yesterday about civics. All right. By the way, that interview and show is posted on the website, 987thefox.info. Again, go to the Let's Talk or the Let's Talk Interviews section. It's the most recent ones are at the top. It just goes down. There's like over 2 months' worth of stuff there. Have fun binge listening, all right? So you can hear interesting interview yesterday with a former congressman talking about civics. Well, for me, part of civics is, hey, if I can donate blood, if I am able to do that, that's something I need to do to help out somebody, somewhere. And I've been doing this for years, and there's an app. Of course there's an app. There's an app for everything. And I can kind of keep track of things through my app. And so, I mean, this is actually very interesting. My blood has made its way to Virginia, to West Virginia, to Pennsylvania. I think one time it made it to Tennessee because some hospital, health clinic, or something down there was in need of extra blood. Okay. Now, the problem with all that, and this is a continuing problem, the American Red Cross runs the donation system around here. They're always short. They never have enough people making donations. Now, blood, it would be great if you could give blood. You could, I don't know, put it in the freezer or something, and it lasts for years. That's not the way it works. All right? It doesn't work that way. After a time, if blood is not used, it is disposed of. But the problem is then when an emergency comes up, like an accident, like God forbid, whatever that accident was up on Interstate 80 yesterday involving, I guess it was a snow squall because we had a little snow yesterday morning and it must have hit this near snowshoe. It hit this particular spot. In fact, I can almost guess the spot. Because I've driven that stretch of road many, 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 many times. And a tractor trailer, I don't know, either lost control, over 30 vehicles in a pileup up on Interstate 80 yesterday, which is insane. The good news is, apparently, nobody got seriously hurt. Thank goodness. But they had to close down the road for a while to obviously get in tow trucks and clear the vehicles and all that sort of stuff. I mean, today, beautiful sunny day. Yeah, cold. Maybe that's what put the kibosh on our transmitter this morning. I don't know. I think it got down to about 18 degrees in some places overnight. Now, for April, for February, fine, that's normal. For April, yeah, not so much. Not so much.
Awful.
But thankfully, it's going to start.
Awful.
It's going to start warming up today. All right.
Wow.
But the Red Cross folks, they're looking for more blood donors. They're desperately looking for more blood donors. There's blood drives literally all over the place on the Penn State campus in multiple locations, in local churches and other types of civic groups and so on, at high schools sometimes. You know, maybe a sports team is sort of a sponsor for a blood drive. I know I've done that. I'm from Penns Valley. I've done a donation at Penns Valley High School before because they had a big drive there. And for students, if they're probably maybe seniors, in other words, older students, and, you know, you got to make sure your weight is right, you're not too light and all that stuff where giving a pint of blood would not be a good idea. Obviously, there's all that stuff. But the Red Cross is just, they are so desperate to get more donations. I just noticed this. All right. Now, it used to be you'd give a blood donation, they would say, thank you, and they'd shake your hand, and you'd walk out, and that'd be it. They're at the point now where they give stuff because they're so desperate to get more donations. And I just noticed they're right now, if you would, like, give a donation here in the next, I guess, week or so, they will give you a $15 gift card. Now, I have never seen, I've seen a $5 gift card. I've gotten a couple of those. I've never seen a $15 gift card. That tells me that they are really short and they're willing to do just about anything to entice people to come in and please give a blood donation. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in that, I mean, you can look this up online. There is, again, a Red Cross blood donor app. So if you have a smart device, you can use that. Find the app. You know, you put in your zip code or your town or something like that. And wherever there are nearby drives scheduled, either today, this week, next week, this month, and so on, you can, you know, check them out. I mean, you can even sign up on the app. Now, for a lot of these, if you just show up, they will gratefully, it's like, come on in, all right, please, come on in, we're desperate. Yes, you have to answer a bunch of questions about your health, you know, have you had, you know, certain surgery, or if you had this, or stuff like that. Okay, you got to do that. They check your iron level, which is very simple to do. In fact, they've got a new gadget. They used to do it where they'd have to prick your finger and obviously draw a little blood, and then they would scan that for your iron content. That's very important. They apparently have some new gadget. They don't have to prick your finger anymore. That's cool. All right. Last time out, they tried this thing out on me. I'm like, they just put it over my finger. I'm like, okay, I'm not sure if this is going to work. And it worked perfectly. I'm like, oh, that's a great innovation. All right. That's cool. Yes, they still use a needle to get your blood. Okay, come on. That's how they do it. Now, if they ever figure out a way to avoid that, they'll have a line out the door. They probably will, right? Most people are afraid of that little needle prick.
Uh-huh.
And it hurts for just a moment.
Ow!
A moment.
Okay.
Nobody does that. Or at least the ones I've gone to. Nobody goes,
scream bloody horror.
I mean, that would scare everybody away. Don't do that. The red again. If $15 gift card, that's pretty good, actually. So
that is pretty good.
If you're interested, again, look it up online or contact. If you know the local Red Cross number, you can call them. They really need more people. Okay, here's this next thing, and I'm looking around the studio, and I'm not seeing it.
Oh boy,
where's the medicated drink?
Already consumed.
Holy mackerel.
Yep.
Okay.
And got it down early today.
And that's,
needed it
and
early.
And that's coffee,
today.
Right? Coffee.
Sure. Yeah, no, it's coffee.
Coffee, all right. It's not like hot chocolate or... See, if I was doing it, I'd get a hot chocolate.
So, certainly not a rum-based
drink.
This
is coffee.
If that's what
okay.
you're thinking.
Well, I got an interesting story, a new story from Psychology Today. Now, these are folks, psychology, they do research and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It says, headline, to live longer, drinking coffee in the morning may help.
Hey, hey, hey!
How about that? Okay.
That'll be followed up with tomorrow's article with,
yeah.
If you're looking to leave the planet a little early, coffee is going to do it. Coffee and eggs. We get more reports on the wonderful... positive effects of coffee and eggs, and more reports on the devastating consequences of coffee and eggs than anything else I can think of. Glass of wine would be probably next on the list. A glass of wine. Wine will. But coffee and eggs, more than anything. We just seem to be... I don't know exactly why. We just seem to be absolutely convinced that having coffee or eggs on a regular basis is either going to be devastating or just make life absolutely wonderful. And the truth, I suspect, is probably somewhere in between.
Somewhere
like with most
in
of this
the
stuff.
Middle. Yes. All right.
According
to this new study.
Yes.
Now,
okay.
Here, this is interesting, though. All right. Now, you have your medicated drink in the morning, right?
Yes. Now, I frew mine up in the most girly of fashions, shall we say. It is...
That might not be good.
So when I'm on vacation, and this goes back to my college days, you know, got to be a manly man, except when it comes to the tropical drinks. It's like, yep, I'm okay, frou-frou those tropical drinks up and bring them over. I like the little umbrellas. Bring it all. And it's the same thing. Coffee is, I'm starting to slightly, as I'm getting older, I have more tolerance for coconut and for coffee. I had zero tolerance for coconut until about 5 years ago, and now it's still not my favorite. I never sit around and crave coconut, but I'm becoming very tolerant. Now, usually, I need it mixed with something. But it's like, I can do that. That's not awful. It used to be, oh, no, it has coconut in it. I'm out! Take it away!
Yeah, I'm not.
I want nothing to do with it.
Not a coconut fan, no.
Again, still not my favorite, but it's like, a little bit here, a little bit there, I'm okay with. Coffee, I did have some the other day, like just straight black coffee. I'm like, again, like coconut, I'm not going to crave it. I'm not going to sit around and, boy, I need a cup of black coffee. But it's like, if that's what's available, it's like, depending on the, this one was, I forget the name of the blend, but I'm like, actually, that's pretty darn good. But generally speaking, I need multiple flavors. If you have some whipped cream, throw that in there. Extra sugar, throw that in there. Extra crazy flavors, throw that in there. Mix it all up. More chemicals, please. Yep, get it in there. Oh, that's the good stuff.
You know that's not good for you.
You be quiet over there. I want to hear about how good coffee is for you.
But no, here's the question. You have your morning medicated drink.
Yeah.
Do you have more medicated drinks later in the day?
Once in a blue moon. Very, very rarely. I'm talking like maybe three times a year that it's like, all right, yeah, somewhere along the way I may have a second drink. Actually, let me take that back. It might be more like five times a year. When we go to the beach, I usually, there's a couple of opportunities. There's a coffee house that we go to. Well, I go to every morning. And if we pass it in the afternoon, I'm like, well, I mean, we're here. We might as well get another one while we're here. They have the best Frappuccinos, and they have just, the flavors are crazy good. I think they have like five or six different ones that they make, and I could drink those all day long. They are delicious. But so, very, very rarely will I have anything other than my first thing in the morning cup of Joe frou-frou'd up.
All right. Well, that's good, according to this study.
Okay.
So, again, I'm taking this from a story in Psychology Today. First, it says, coffee is America's favorite beverage. Okay, I think we knew that. Over 70% of American adults drink coffee every week. The most consumed beverage other than water. Okay. I'll be honest, apparently Scott here is in the minority. I'm not a coffee drinker. I'm just not. Tea. I prefer tea. So there's that. It says here, coffee is a superfood that helps prevent disease, including cancer, heart disease, diabetes, and Parkinson's, among others.
Aha. Uh-huh.
That's good.
That is good.
But now there's a new study out there that says limiting your coffee consumption to the mornings may lead to greater health benefits.
Huh.
Apparently, if you drink coffee all day, no big health benefit. If you limit it to just the morning when you're getting your day rolling and so on, for some reason, they say, okay, that's great. This is from, let's see, there's a study, the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey. Woo, big title. 40,000 people. 20 years they did, well, 19 years they did this study. That's amazing. Where they studied 40,000 people, including what they ate and drank over a 24-hour period. That'd be an interesting survey to be part of. Yeah, I had some Fritos or something. Okay. Including what time they consumed coffee. And so they did this. They didn't do it for, you know, 20 years. They would take people at certain times, and apparently they tracked them over the course of 7 days. And then they would move on to a new group and a new group and so on. They classified people in three groups. People who primarily drank coffee in the morning, people who drank coffee throughout the day, and people who didn't drink coffee at all. And then they tracked the health outcomes. Again, they did this over like a week. But then they would keep track of people over the next 10 years to see, okay, what's the difference? Did it have an impact and so on? Well, according to these researchers, they found that people who drank coffee mainly just in the morning had a significantly lower risk of death, 16% lower compared to those who didn't drink coffee at all. Now, that's me, so you're 16% better than me.
Huh, look at that.
How about that?
Look at me.
It says morning coffee drinkers, remember, just morning, 31% less likely to have, or less likely to die from cardiovascular causes. That's good. But, now this is the interesting part, people who drank coffee all day did not significantly lower their risk of dying. So drinking coffee all day does not provide a benefit. How about that? Did you know that? Now, why? Well, there's the good question. Why? Nobody has a why on that yet. It says here, coffee known for its anti-inflammatory properties. Okay, that's cool. Apparently, that sort of stuff peaks in the morning, like inflammation peaks in the morning. So if you have coffee in the morning, that helps to reduce inflammation in the morning, and then it apparently just continues all day. But it says if you drink coffee all day, it really doesn't do anything, which is weird. All right? Now, if I'm correct, that's when most people drink coffee, right? They drink it in the morning. All right? They hit Dunkin', they hit Starbucks, they hit, Waffle Shop, or they hit some other place, and they have a cup of coffee, or they make a pot of coffee in the morning. My wife does this. She drinks coffee. I don't. She makes it in the morning. I rarely see her drink coffee later in the day. So I think for the most part, most folks do only drink coffee in the morning. But if you're a constant coffee drinker, like morning, noon, evening, whatever, according to the study, okay, it's not really helping you. Find something else to drink in the afternoon and evening, like tea or water. Water's always a good one. Watch out for the microplastics, though. Oh, I'm sorry. I just ruined the
whole
story. Let's take a break here. I just ruined the whole story.
Come on.
Drink out of a glass.
We're all doomed no matter what.
Glass. Okay? There is no micro glass. That's a plastic thing.
Well,
drink out of a glass. Bring back those old-fashioned soda glass bottles. Remember those? Coke and Pepsi? We drank out of glass. Not plastic. But that's up to you. Or do the fountain drink. I don't know. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. What's up in sports? We will find out next.
The Fox. This is The Fox. Get the feeling. Whoa. This is The Fox.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Light Cummings Supply Incorporated, located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, is looking to hire numerous carpenters, laborers, and operators starting immediately for the construction season. Light Cummings Supply is a reputable contractor that has been in business since 1948 and is family-owned. Light Cummings Supply specializes in building bridges, box culverts, and also performs demolition work throughout the mid-state region. Having a CDL is preferred but not necessary. Stop by their office located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport and fill out an application and have two forms of ID ready. Light Cummings Supply is an EEO employer. You may mail a resume or visit their office at Light Cummings Supply, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. for more information. Light Cummings Supply Incorporated, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 today.
The Center Hall Farm Store is ready to meet all of your feed needs. Whether you're feeding livestock, pets, wildlife, or birds, stop in and let the Center Hall Farm Store provide the best food options for the animals in your life. And with winter coming, now is the time to stock up on wood pellets from the Center Hall Farm Store. Check them out in person at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall or online at centerhallfarmstore.com. That's centerhallfarmstore.com. 110 Allison Street in Center Hall.
Finally, the soundtrack of summer is returning to the airwaves here in Happy Valley. And it's doing so right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This year's Pittsburgh Pirates offer a mix of veteran stars.
Andrew McCormick has won it! They're going crazy! The Pirates have won this game!
And perhaps baseball's newest shining star.
The 2-2. He got him, and he's done it again. Paul Skenes finishes strong.
Every game all season long brings the promise of new excitement.
The Bucks walk it off in grand fashion.
Don't miss the action of Pirates baseball this season. The Buccos are back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Raise the Jolly Roger!
Get up and get going with the Happy Valley's 98.7 The Fox.
Well, it's just always a party going on here at Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff and Scott with you. We'll have some open phone time coming up a bit later. I'll be talking about the State College Food Bank coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, and all while we, you know, try to get back on the air in the State College and Center County area.
We're working on it.
It's a busy little morning here at the old radio ranch. All right, let's... lots to get into in the world of sports, and a huge thank you to Belfont's junior high track coach. More on that coming up in just a moment here. Start with this. Three Penn State athletes honored by the university for their accomplishments at the annual awards ceremony for undergraduate students yesterday. Jess Merzik, who was about as good as it gets in women's volleyball this past season, and Tyler Warren, the tight end for the Penn State football team, who was about as good as it gets, in general, on the football field this year, those are your two Ernest B. McCoy Memorial Award winners this year. That honor goes annually to a student athlete, one male and one female, who has combined successful athletic participation, Merzik check, Warren check, with academic excellence. Merzik check, Warren check. They are both the epitome of student athlete, and I mean excelling in both. Also, field hockey's Julianne Van Beckham was the athletics recipient of the John W. Oswald Award, which is given annually to the graduating seniors who have provided outstanding leadership in at least one of several areas of activity. Merzik, again, most outstanding player of the NCAA Women's Volleyball Championships. Of course, Penn State winning the national title. She also was in the one-year MBA program, finished her career with over 2,000 kills, 1,100 digs, 250 blocks, and 100 aces. Merzik also a three-time All-American, and just a sensational player, now playing professionally in women's volleyball. Of course, Tyler Warren getting ready for the NFL draft. He broke Penn State records from a tight end with 22 total touchdowns, 16 receiving, and 6 rushing. He is also fifth this past season among all FBS tight ends in career touchdown receptions with 15. He ranks 11th on the all-time list at Penn State in touchdown receptions. And again, just sensational seasons for both. Van Beckham was named the National Field Hockey Coaches Association Scholar of Distinction this year. Also named to the All-Academic Team and a Big Ten Distinguished Scholar, as well as a first-team All-Region selection in field hockey this past season. Congratulations to all three.
Makes my heart glad to hear about student athletes.
Yes, they still exist, apparently. Amazing. That's very, very cool. Penn State softball. We'll be back in action today. A game originally scheduled for last night will now be played today. Penn State and St. Francis. That game now will be at 5 o'clock today at Nittany Lions Softball Park and Beard Field. The Nittany Lions are 18-18 on the season and riding a 4-game winning streak. The Red Flash are 14-20 on the season and have lost 4 in a row. Again, that game gets underway at 5 o'clock now this afternoon.
Listen for the PA announcer. I'm told he's really good.
I heard they were scratching the bottom of the barrel for
Too.
We're hearing different things. Have fun with
I'm looking them. To have fun, yep.
Well, we're both going to be doing some PA for softball today. I finally will remember, number one, and we'll have a game, and I'm available, and all of it coming together beautifully as the State College softball team will host Cumberland Valley this afternoon at 4:15. State High off to a 2-1 start. Eagles are flying high going into this one, off to a 5-0 start on the season. State High baseball. Baseball team will be at Cumberland Valley this afternoon. CV is 6-1, while the Little Lions are 2-1 on the young season. Also today, the Bellefonte baseball team will be home with St. Mary's at 4:30, and the Penns Valley baseball and softball teams both home against Somerset in 4:30 starts this afternoon. The beloved Pittsburgh Pirates won the opening game of their series with the Cardinals, and they're sending Paul Skeens to the mound last night, so you're like, all right, we're going to lock up this series before they even get to a third game. And alas, Skeens gave up 5 runs, and St. Louis wins it 5-3. Skeens now 0-3 against the Cardinals in his young career. Pirates will try again for their first series victory of the season as they'll play the rubber game of that matchup with the Cardinals at PNC Park. First pitch is set for 12:35 this afternoon. Airtime will be at 12:10 right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. The Atlanta Braves took the opening game of their series with Philadelphia in Atlanta last night 7-5. Johan Rojas and Edmundo Sosa did their best Pirates impression. Pretty bad miscommunication. They allowed a ball to fall that should have been caught in the second inning of yesterday's game, I think it was. And that helped the Braves go on to put up a 3 spot in the inning. The Phillies actually came back, had a 4-3 lead, but the Braves ultimately prevail 7-5. Game 2 of that series in Atlanta tonight is set for 7:15. Folks, they said it couldn't be done. Here come the Pittsburgh Penguins. They shut out the Blackhawks last night 5-0. Are you kidding me? The Penguins can't be stopped in their pursuit of a 500 record.
Of the golf
course. Still possibly this season. If they can win the next 3 games, the final 3 of the year, yes, the Penguins can finish at 500 for the season, and, you know, still miss the playoffs. Tristan Jarry made 26 saves and goal for the Penguins. They win a really meaningless game, except it does hurt their draft status.
There's a thought.
They can't even lose when they're
See, Chicago is probably thinking about that. They figure, well, we got nothing else to play for. We'll roll over.
Yes. That seemed to be perhaps the case.
They rolled over
last night. Philadelphia Flyers have no hopes of a 500 season or the playoffs, but Philadelphia will be back in action tonight, taking on the New York Rangers on the road. That game will get underway at 7:30 this evening. And I got a wonderful detailed note, and I'm going to read through a good bit of the information. Got the note yesterday during the show. I apologize. Didn't see it till afterward, or we would have run down these results yesterday, you know, when we were on the air locally and everything.
Yes.
But here are some results from the Bellefonte Junior High track meet from April 3rd against Bald Eagle Area, Clearfield, and Our Lady of Victory. And the April 7th matchup against Phillipsburg Osceola and Huntington. On April 3rd, boys sweeping the meet to improve to 5-0 on the season. The girls lost to Clearfield and dropped a very close battle with Bald Eagle Area, but did beat OLV to go 3-2. Elliot Donmoyer was a four-time winner in the 100 meters, the 200 meters, the 400 meters, and was part of the winning 4x400 meter relay team on the boys' side. Jack Tyson extended his javelin school record to 173.7. That is currently the best throw in the state of Pennsylvania this season. He also won discus and was part of that winning 4x400 meter relay team. He also tied for first in the 400 meters. And Bowen Williams also placed first in the 3200 meters. Pretty darn impressive stuff.
Yeah.
Kaylee Knapp won the high jump and placed second in the 300-meter hurdles. Also on the girls' side, Piper Rock was second in the javelin. Natalie Calago was second in the discus. And Ronnie Spots was second in the triple jump and was on the runner-up team in the 4x100-meter relays. And then on April 7th, boys remaining undefeated, now 7-0. Girls going 1-1 in the meet, and now 4-3 overall in the season. Some notable performances on the boys' side. There were victories from the relay teams in the 4x100, 4x400, and 4x800. In the 4x400, they set a new school record of 4.07. Elliot Donmoyer, Carson Fritchman, Noah Delos Reyes, and Jack Tyson were on that team. Individual winners included Noah Delos Reyes in both the 100 and the 200 meters, Bowen Williams in the 1600 meters, Elliot Donmoyer in the 400 meters, Noah Tomlinson in the 800 meters, Alex Giornesto in the 3200 meters, Timothy Osmond in the triple jump, Jack Tyson in both the discus and the javelin, and then some notable performances on the girls' side. The 4x100 and 4x800 meter relay teams picked up victories. Individual winners included Ronnie Spots in the 100 meter hurdles, Kaylee Knapp in the 100, the 300 meter hurdles, and the high jump. And Natalie Calago won the discus. So thank you to Coach Setnar for sending all of those results to us. Folks, if your kiddo or your team, if you're a coach, you want to get information out to us, we are happy to share it with the public. This should be mentioned. This is impressive stuff that these kiddos are doing. I know Todd and Norm Brown talk about it when they do our broadcast, but listen, we're in an era where it is easy for kiddos to take the easy way out, and hey, I'll just sit at home, be on my computer, play games, that sort of stuff. And not saying there's anything wrong with that, but it is nice to see kids out there challenging themselves, trying to better themselves, and just being active. It is important. Don't go home. You don't need to do organized sports. It's not the point. But you need to do something for your body. Body and mind work together there, kiddos. Get out, even if it's just walking a mile or two a day. Do something to get your body and your mind kind of working together. But yeah, we want to recognize, we're a sports talk station, so we want to recognize the accomplishments of our local athletes, certainly at the collegiate level, certainly at the high school level, but we want to recognize them right down. probably. Ironhead99@hotmail.com. But any results you have, any, and by the way, let me just mention, this goes, this is our sports segment. If you have a kiddo who is out there winning a spelling bee at their school, if you have a kiddo that is, you know, earning prizes in scouts, if you have a kiddo, pass that stuff along. Like, we want to share. One of the things I really would love to do with this show is to share good news happening across the board. And, by the way, if there are adults out there and you're accomplishing great things, share that stuff with us. We would love to pass it along. But especially with the kiddos, again, regardless of what the field is, what it is that they are accomplishing, boy, feel free to pass that stuff along. We would love to hear about it and would love to share it with the community. Again, it's ironhead99@hotmail.com.
All right. Actually, I'll throw a third one in.
Okay.
If you go to our website, 987thefox.info, which a lot of you do,
yeah,
hit the Contact Us button there. You get a form that pops up on your screen. Obviously, put in your name and yep. information. Try not to go too crazy, all right? We will get the message. We'll forward it on. And, again, we'd love to report that stuff. I mean, what was that, best throw in the state right now?
Yeah,
I mean,
that's pretty darn impressive.
That's pretty
stuff.
Good. It's like, wow, that's outstanding. So you got texting, you got email, or go to our website. All right, let's take a break right
All
here.
All right, let's do it.
All right, we are having fun in our boat. We are streaming today. little boat action there.
Rowing our boat.
Again, pass along to your friends, 987thefox.info. You can stream. Little FM transmitter problem this morning. Not sure what. Somebody's looking into it. Hopefully we'll get that fixed up quickly. We have open lines coming up. We're going to talk about State College Food Bank and all the craziness and how it affects them right now. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
It's the Kubota Orange Day sales event at Daughter Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. Friday, April 11th, 8 to 5. Saturday, April 12th from 8 till noon, test drive equipment. Get the best deals of the season. Get 10% off all in-stock parts along with door prizes and giveaways. And do not forget the pancake breakfast from 8 to 11 both days. The Kubota Orange Day sales event features zero down, 0% APR for 84 months on select Kubota models. On some models, you can save up to $3,500 with cash purchase. Just ask the Kubota experts at your destination for Kubota. Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. Mark the dates on your calendar for the Kubota Orange Day sales event of the year, April 11th from 8 to 5 and the 12th from 8 till noon. Daughter Equipment, your destination for Kubota. 0% APR financing now through 6/30/2025. See Daughter Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 or go to KubotaUSA.com for more information.
your home for local sports. We are Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This spring we'll have live coverage of Center County baseball and softball with the long, strong traditions of great players and great teams in our area. You can follow this season from opening day through the state championship. All right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. We wish all of the local athletes the best of luck in the upcoming season. Stay tuned for more local sports right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a Wednesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. Phone line is open. Well, you know, if you're streaming, 814-954-7266. We'll get you into the big show this morning, 814-954-7266.
Again, we'll have a guest here. Our friend Elaine Beck from State College Food Bank is going to join us in about 15 minutes. I want to get an update from those folks. Again, last year they had a record year. Folks, that's not a good thing. All right, that means more and more people need to use the food bank. That's not a good thing. And with all the chaos and craziness and apparently budget cuts from D.C., how does that affect those folks and what they do and people and stuff? So we're going to talk with Elaine coming up here in about 15 minutes.
Did finally see that that plane that made the emergency landing, I think it was a week ago, right? I think it was Wednesday last week.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting. I think I've driven by it a couple of times, and I've just I knew the general area where it was. I actually thought it was up further, like toward the Y, but we were driving over to an event yesterday late afternoon, and it is a little, it's just weird to look out in the field and
just
a plane just sitting there in the middle of the field. Again, the good news last week, I think it was a week ago today, that the plane had to make an emergency landing there. Everybody sounds like just basically walked away, like not even minor injuries, like just, yep, landed in the field. And I think it was, right, it's minor damage to the plane. I'm not sure, you know, even minor damage, you'd probably need to get that repaired. Well, not exactly sure what the plan is. If somebody knows, I'm just curious, like, do you tow that plane out of there? I'm not exactly sure how you get a plane that has some damage. I think the one wing was dented, according to the story anyway last week. So presumably they got to get that dent fixed. But I don't know. I mean, at some point they got to get the plane out of the field. I just don't know exactly what that process is. If anybody, I'm just genuinely curious. Doesn't bother me. It's not my field. It's an interesting little conversation piece as they're driving by. And over here, we have a plane that made an emergency landing the other week. I finally saw it in person. I think, again, I've driven by it probably a few times, and I just never think of it to look over there. And finally yesterday we're like, oh yeah, there it is.
There it is, still
still sitting there.
I mean, I passed it the other day and I looked over like, oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Is there a tow truck for planes?
I really don't know how you go about. They've obviously have to have, there's a way to do it, obviously, but I don't know what it is. I don't know how big of a process it is.
Well,
like, do you take it out to the airport here and that's where you do the repairs? And if so, I almost think you need to, you've got to somehow vehicularly, I don't know if that's a word, but by way of a vehicle, get it out there, I would presume. And so I think it's wide enough that you'd have to kind of shut down for a very short period of time, each stretch of road, but I think you'd need to much shut off.
Yeah.
Again, it could be for 5 minutes, but you got to get the doggone thing through. I'm just curious if anybody knows what the plan is there to get that plane out and where they got to have to take it to get it repaired. That's got to be a process for sure.
That would be an extra wide load.
Yes, is for
now,
sure.
Now, I don't know. Maybe you fix the plane where it sits.
Yeah.
The problem is there's no runway there.
No.
Can you just take off from there? My thought is no. I think you can do that.
Think so, but I
don't know. So you've got to get the airplane tow truck to put it on a trailer. And then you got the extra wide load. My thought was you would take it back to the airport. Somebody repairs the plane, make sure it's okay.
That's
and
what
then
I would
you can,
think.
And you can take off. Whoosh, there's a runway there.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you certainly wouldn't do this on a road. I don't think you're supposed to do that. Like, hey, let's take off. No.
Hello.
Unless, of course, you have a flying car.
It's a matter of time here.
Flying
folks.
Car. So, yeah, I thought the same thing the other day when I was going to a store and I'm thinking, oh, there it is. I don't know, maybe it'll just become a conversation piece. They'll just leave it there forever. Yeah, there's that plane that landed there the other day or the other year or something like that. Yeah, it's still sitting there. So it's in the middle of a farmer's field, though. So the farmer's probably not pleased. Like, you want to move your plane? So, I don't know. That's a good question. I didn't think about that. Here's a sportsy thing. Now, if you're a Major League Baseball fan, you already have heard of the torpedo bats. Oh, they're famous now. Torpedo bats, which the New York Yankees have used rather successfully in hitting home runs and, I assume, other hits. I did not know this. Now, first off, this is Major League Baseball, wooden bats, all right, not metal. I don't know, could there even be a metal version of the torpedo bat? Now, if you don't know what this is, all right, hopefully at some point in your life, if you play ball or not, you've held a bat in your hands, all right, gym class in school or something like that. You held a bat in your hands, and you got the barrel of the bat. It's like the big end, all right, that's where you're supposed to hit the ball. The torpedo bat, which, again, it doesn't look like a torpedo, but whatever. Okay. The densest wood of the torpedo bat is not necessarily at the end. It's down a bit toward the middle, and so it's sort of tapered, like it's sort of fatter a little bit in the middle, and then tapers down as you get to the end of the bat. And some, I don't know, physicist or something came up with this, and they made the bats, and poof! People are like cranking home runs, or Major League Baseball players are cranking home runs. I did not know this. They make these bats at one place in a factory down in King of Prussia. If you don't know where that is, that's outside Philadelphia. The company is called Victus, V-I-C-T-U-S. And the Associated Press had a story about these guys, Victus Sports. Now, this is a factory. They make baseball bats. And they have a store, apparently connected to the factory, that anybody can go in the store. And so AP had a story this week about this factory and about this store. And they talked to this common guy who's in some kind of baseball league where they use wooden bats. And he goes into the store, and he's very interested in getting, and it's interesting, some of these bats, they seem to always be named after players, okay? This one is named after Anthony Volpe, who's a player for the Yankees. The Volpe 11 TPD Pro Reserve Maple Bat.
Oh, hey, hey, hey.
It's like, what? Just call it a bat. What kind of name is that? Yikes. But I tell you what, I would love to go to this store because, I mean, they have obviously people in the store that will fit you with the right bat. And they have an indoor, I guess, batting cage where they have a pitching machine. And apparently, now granted, this is outside of Philadelphia. So at this place, in this special cage, you can take your swings, and it's like one of those golf simulators. All right, if you've ever done one of those, you hit a golf ball, it goes into a screen, and then a computer or something determines, well, okay, this is how far the bar will have gone, or something like that. So you can play like indoor golf. Well, apparently they have this for baseball. All right, that's pretty cool. And so you stand in there with your bat, and you can take your swings off the pitching machine. And the background in this case is Citizens Bank Park, which is where the Philadelphia Phillies play. So it's like you're standing at home plate at Citizens Bank Park. That's cool. All right, I'd like to do that sometime.
Well, yeah.
I would probably strike out, but I would like to try it anyway. So apparently this guy, what's his name? His name is Ed Constantini. He stops at the store the other day to try this out. He gets a bat. He goes into the simulator, and apparently he liked it so much, he, on the spot, he ordered, now I guess you have to order these bats, he ordered four of them. Now, this is wood. I don't know. This might not be a bad deal. $150 a bat. That's actually not a bad deal. Goodness, I can remember I had a daughter who played high school softball. Now, this was a while ago, 15 years ago or whatever it was. Actually, longer than that. And I remember, you know, dad here being good dad. I'm like, I want to get her a good bat. Now, granted, softball, we're talking metal bats now. And so this actually is like 20 years ago, maybe. I go to the store, you know, check out bats. Now, back then, 20 years ago, to get a good girl softball bat was at least $200 for a bat. All right. Now, this is 20 years ago. $200 for a bat. So when I saw this story, like $150 a bat, that's actually not bad. I think that's pretty good. But this guy, Mr. Constantini, plopped down $600 on the spot to buy four of these bats. And apparently this factory can't keep up with orders anymore. There's one factory. They can't keep up with the orders anymore down there outside Philadelphia. And they're jumping off the shelves. People and everybody apparently is going to the store. They want to buy a bat. Now, again, it's a wood bat. Can you break a wood bat? Yes, you can. All right? For any of us who can remember wooden bats in baseball, God forbid I can remember that. Did I ever break a bat? Yes. You know, a couple of times I broke a bat. In fact, that's a good question. You know, when these major league teams travel, of course, they take their equipment with them. Each player has his own bats. How many bats do they take for each guy? I saw a clip. Now, you know, we're carrying the Frozen Four tomorrow night. Penn State, Boston U, also the other game, Denver and Western Michigan. We're carrying both games tomorrow night here on 98.7 The Fox. We're going to get that darn FM thing fixed, okay? Yes, we are. But I saw a quick, you know, the hockey team left yesterday.
Yeah.
Now, this is in St. Louis. So Penn State flies out yesterday, and somebody, you know, social media maven puts together this cute little video montage and so on. And at one point, they had a close-up of the hockey sticks that they take. And what the clip I saw, one of the players is Reese Laubach, terrific young player. And there was a whole bunch of sticks there with Laubach on them, like imprinted on the side of the stick. Mr. Ironhead, there must have been a dozen sticks all labeled for one guy. Well, how many guys were on the hockey team? A bunch of guys. That's a lot of sticks.
That's a lot of sticks.
That's a lot of sticks that they had to put on the plane, or actually maybe not on the plane. They put them on a bus. All right, Penn State has like a deal, I think, with Fullington, where they have like equipment buses, and so they load up the bus. Penn State football has buses and big trucks and all this other stuff. So when they go on an away game, I don't know, 2 days in advance or 3 days in advance, they load up the truck or the van, whoop, off it goes, or the tractor trailer, whoop, off it goes to, you know, Columbus or Ann Arbor or, boy, the West Coast trips must be fun. Okay, L.A., okay, they don't fly all that stuff on planes. They put them on trucks and off they go. So that's what the hockey team apparently did, probably not yesterday, maybe a day earlier, a day or two ago. And I just saw all these different hockey sticks with Laubach printed on the side. That's one guy. He must be taking at least a dozen hockey sticks. Now, multiply that by all the guys on the team. Oh, my gosh. So baseball bats, hockey sticks, same deal. But it's called Victus Sports in King of Prussia. I've got to get down there and see this store. That just looks like a really cool place. And you get a chance to take your swings in the store. Yes. I feel like a kid again. I got to try this. Get a Volpe bat, you know, torpedo bat. All right, let's take a break here. Now, I'm not going to get a Volpe bat. I'm sorry. Not a Yankees fan. I'm an Orioles fan. All right? My birds are kind of clunking along right now. They're out in the West Coast. They lost last night. Okay. I'd like to get a Gunnar Henderson bat. That's what I want to get. A Gunnar Henderson bat. Or maybe an Adley Rutschman bat or something. I want to... Go Birds, all right?
Uh-huh.
Mr. Bucko fan here. Folks, you're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Just streaming along this morning. We'll be right back.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority is proud to support local sports here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Check out our website at centercountyrecycles.org for employment opportunities, upcoming events, the authority's newsletter, and details on what can and can't be recycled, as well as updated schedules. That's centercountyrecycles.org. Once again, the website is centercountyrecycles.org. Your home for local sports. We are Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This spring we'll have live coverage of Center County baseball and softball. With the long, strong traditions of great players and great teams in our area, you can follow this season from opening day through the state championship. All right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. We wish all of the local athletes the best of luck in the upcoming season. Stay tuned for more local sports right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Like Cummings Supply Incorporated, located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, is looking to hire numerous carpenters, laborers, and operators starting immediately for the construction season. Like Cummings Supply is a reputable contractor that has been in business since 1948 and is family-owned. Like Cummings Supply specializes in building bridges, box culverts, and also performs demolition work throughout the mid-state region. Having a CDL is preferred but not necessary. Stop by their office located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport and fill out an application and have two forms of ID ready. Lycoming Supply is an EEO employer. You may mail a resume or visit their office at Lycoming Supply, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. for more information. Lycoming Supply Incorporated, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 today.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
It is Let's Talk here on a Wednesday morning. Just commenting off there. It is a beautiful looking morning. Just I'm ready for the warmer temperatures. Like now. Bastardi, you're driving me nuts out there. Again, a little open phone time coming up in the final segment of this morning's show.
Now, once again, we're having a little FM transmitter trouble, but our stream is fine, and we record. So we're recording right now. Later on, we'll post this on our website, 987thefox.info, where literally millions of people, well, maybe not literally, millions of people will have the chance to listen.
They have the chance, for sure.
Elaine, we're not trying to scare you.
Okay? I'm not scared.
Okay. It's like, millions! Oh, my gosh. We want to welcome back our friend, Elaine Beck, from State College Food Bank. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming back
Thanks
in.
Thanks for having me.
Now, again, the story on this was I was going to contact you a week ago because we haven't had you on in a while, and we're getting into spring, and I'm thinking, okay, I saw something about record year, which I'll ask about mm-hmm. in a little bit. But then, of course, with all the, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, the chaos in Washington and cuts and this and that and so on, I thought, okay, we need to get an update here as we're going into spring and summer and so on. First off, tell us, let's start with some basic stuff for folks who maybe they don't know anything about the State College Food Bank or local food banks and any of that stuff. Your State College Food Bank, tell us about the food bank. Give us the basics.
We there's an amazing network of food pantries in Center County. We just celebrated this month as our 1 year anniversary of moving into our new facility.
Is it already better?
I know, isn't that crazy? So
that is crazy.
So we moved into our new facility a year ago, and when we did that, we now serve anyone in Center County, which is wonderful, and we're here to help. And if someone has a hard time getting to us, we can help connect them with their local pantry in their community. But we serve anyone regardless of income. We just ask that they get a referral from one of our case management programs, and they can get food every 30 days for about 2 weeks. Two weeks worth of food.
And for folks that don't know, talk about the location. I didn't realize it was, I guess it was spring. Yeah.
April 1st was our 1 year anniversary of opening the pantry. So we're up behind Burger King and College Gardens off Benner Pike on Gerald Street. Yep. And we went from a little under 5,000 square feet to 18,000 square feet. So we are positioned to help the whole county as best we can, as both a hub for other pantries and helping them procure food, but also to give out food through our pantry.
And the setup there is just fantastic for folks. Well, I guess picking up too, but if you're dropping off, it is just a wonderful.
Oh my gosh.
It's got to be great for your workers too, for people dropping off. It is a very simple process.
I don't have the poundage number in my head, but I can guarantee that number has gone up, the amount of donations. So we opened a 24-hour drop-off room where people can come any time of day to bring food. Only hiccup right now is the wind has broken the door, so it's closed until we can get the door fixed.
Gotcha.
Just because it's not safe. I don't want it to whack anybody.
We've had some nasty winds, that's for sure.
Gerald Street. That's what it is. All
mm-hmm.
right.
Yep.
I just think it's the top of the hill above the Burger King.
Yep.
So turn at the light at the Burger King. College Gardens is on the other corner.
Uh-huh.
Make a right kind of a curl, and you're up at the... And I haven't been in, but I've been past it. I'm like, wow, that's a big building there.
Well, it is.
Here, I'll make my plug. Anyone that wants to come, April 24th from 11 to 1, we're having an open house to celebrate our 1 year anniversary. So bring your neighbors, bring your friends. It's just a time to just come and see our space, to understand what we do.
So Thursday, there's a calendar right over your head. Thursday, April 24th from 11 to 1.
Yep.
Anybody
can come.
Cool.
Yep. We'll have cake.
Okay.
Wow. You had me
at cake. That's a selling factor.
All right. Now, next general question. Where does the food come from? People make donations. That's great. Mm-hmm. I know that's not it. Where does the food come from?
The majority of our food is coming through retail donations. So 3 days a week, we pick up at almost every grocery store in town. And we're picking up fresh produce, bread, frozen meats. So anything the grocery store is about to take off their shelf, but it's still edible, it's still usable, but they're replacing with something more fresh. They hold on to us, and we pick it up 3 days a week.
Okay.
The rest of our food is coming probably through community donations that are 24-hour drop-off room, or we're purchasing it with donor dollars.
Okay.
Quick, I just, while we're on that, I just want to, because it was something I've done now, but I wasn't aware of until we had you in the fall. But with Easter coming up, I just got the certificate for the ham. Again, our family, we have, we all go to one house. We don't need the five hams between us. You can donate at the grocery store, at least at Giant, I'm presuming at others too, but you can take that certificate, take it to the desk, and say, I want this to go to the State College food bank. Right?
You can do that at the customer service desk, or you can redeem the ham and bring it to us.
Oh, okay.
What you can't do is bring us your certificate, because we don't have your bonus card.
Yep.
We can't redeem your paper certificate, but... The easier way is just to give it to customer service, and then they make sure it gets to us.
Yeah, which is a fantastic. Again, if you...
That happens with turkeys, too. We get a lot of turkeys that way.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Elaine, I'm from Penns Valley.
Okay.
Right? So I know there's a spot in Center Hall where they have a regular... I'll stop that.
What?
A regular pickup. And explain, I guess, how are all the... First off, how many food banks are there? Like in our neighborhood. Do you have an idea?
That's a great question. So I'd have to sit here and count a little bit. But there's a couple different types of food pantries. So we have state and federal funding, and that is determined through Center County, and they use the Center County Community Action to make sure everyone's getting that and spread around the county. So there's multiple pantries in that system. So the one in Center Hall, of the Faith Center in Bellefonte. There's one in Howard, Phillipsburg, and Snowshoe, and ourselves. Okay. And then in addition to that, there's a lot of lovely, amazing community groups that do drive-throughs, like at Grace Lutheran. There's one up in Snowshoe. Those kind of are Central Pennsylvania food banks, like Fresh Express Drops. And then there's other programs like Common Food, which distributes down in Port Matilda. There's a church in Milesburg. There's a church in Bellefonte. So there's, I would say, there's not a community that probably doesn't have a pantry or some type of distribution in their own backyard.
Okay, now is there any, sharing or connection between all those groups, or do they all work independently?
They're all technically independent entities, but we just got together last week, so we like to gather all of the pantries together. We're trying, it's a new thing, quarterly, to just kind of get our heads together and hear what everyone's struggling with, our successes, and kind of boost each other up and help each other. But we, in our facility, because we have so much storage space, we re-donate a lot of our excess. If we have, let's say we go to Sam's Club today and we pick up a pallet of mangoes, right? We can't use those mangoes. All of those mangoes before they go bad. So we're going to make sure that they get sent out into the community to other pantries and other programs, so we're not composting them.
Hmm. Oh, okay. Now, I saw a blurb somewhere that last year was a record year. Now, I guess we should be celebrating or something.
Not so much.
Or maybe not. What does record year mean?
I don't think anyone will be surprised to know that our numbers went up when we moved into our new facility. That was kind of anticipated, right? We have the capacity to serve more people. We are serving on average since moving 500 households a month.
Wow.
And when it was the holiday time, we were over 600. So I like to think of it as if we're truly going to solve food insecurity, we have to exist. Right. So the more people we reach, the more successful we are at making sure no one in Center County is hungry.
Now, again, how does somebody's listening on our stream this morning and they're thinking, boy, times are tough. And so how do they make that connection? Because I'm fine at my house. We're fine with food. I'm not going to be showing up at the food bank. Somebody else, not as fine, maybe. How do they make that connection? What do they do?
All the information is on our website. I feel like that's the best place to start, at scfoodbank.org. But they can always call us, and our staff is ready and willing to help walk people through that process. But we require a referral from a case management program, and that can be anywhere, right? It could be CVIM, Housing Transitions. A lot of them come from Center Helps, Salvation Army, you name it. Center Safe. The list goes on. Even doctors. I just sent it to one of our Mount Nittany doctors who was asking. She had a few clients that she thought could use some help, right? So we have Geisinger, all kinds of people, the school district, Penn State. So if people are affiliated with some kind of program that has case management or someone that they know, like their doctor, they can say, hey, I need some help. Can you help me figure out how to do the referral? And then they send it to us, and then they're eligible to come get food.
Are there particular needs right now, if people are able to make donations? Is there anything specific that you're like, boy, it would be nice if we could get more of this into service?
Yeah, so we, on our website, we keep an updated like needs list that changes frequently depending on, right? Like, and it's one of those things that we don't know until the end of a distribution that we're like, oh, that all that cereal went a lot faster than we anticipated, our spaghetti sauce.
Yeah.
There's things that we're purchasing that are always helpful if they're donated, like spaghetti sauce, condiments, beverages. We can never keep enough, like, ready-to-eat soups on the shelf, like the Progressives and the Chunkies, right? Those are things we always need.
Yeah.
We did just start a new initiative to have period care and incontinence projects free and available for people. Not any points or anything, so we're looking to increase those donations into our building too.
Very good.
Let's flip that around, Elaine. Are there things, please don't bring those things. Flip it around. Don't bring those things. What
I don't want to discourage people from coming. I would say the things not to bring are opened things, right? Don't bring us your half-used box of spaghetti or half-used bag of flour or things that are really expired. If you pull the box of Jell-O out of the cupboard that's been in there for 10 years, we don't really want that.
Yeah.
But besides that, there's really nothing. I think the most common misconception is maybe that we need a lot of baby food, which it's good to have. We have families that need it, but we don't go through it very quickly because a lot of the families we serve qualify for WIC. So they don't. They have WIC dollars to purchase baby food.
Okay. I'm just trying to think of things that expire somewhat quickly, like milk and dairy items.
As long as those types of... Those things are tricky because they have to be kept at temperature controlled. So if you have perishable items that people want to donate, the best bet is to just call the food bank and talk to our staff to discuss, like, if it's something we can receive.
Frozen foods?
Exactly. Yep. We can't take frozen food that you froze yourself. So, like, if you went and bought a whole chicken and didn't eat it and put it in your freezer, there's no guarantee that you froze it in the right amount of time for food safety.
Right.
Things that are frozen that, like, come frozen, like chicken nuggets, right, or popsicles, right, those types of things have expiration dates and have to have stayed frozen, essentially.
So that deer and venison I got a few months ago, I shouldn't do that.
We don't take wild game. There is a program, Hunter Sharing the Harvest, that you can donate it through some other programs in Pennsylvania, but we ourselves don't take wild game.
Okay. I was kidding.
I know. That's a common question, though, in this area. We get a lot of people asking about kind of the game that they've hunted and what they can do with it.
I'm a terrible shot, so that would never happen anyway. All right, so record year, and I'm assuming all those other locations you mentioned, their numbers, I'm assuming, are up, too.
Yep.
Everybody's
numbers are up.
Now, with what's going on in D.C. and this, well, first off, let's start from scratch. You know, budget cuts and USDA and all this other stuff. How does that affect you, what you guys do?
It doesn't directly affect us right now. We don't receive much federal funding. Any kind of government funding we receive is about 10% or less of our budget. So the cuts that have been put into play are not... It's not like all of a sudden we're losing $50,000, right? However, a lot of our other fellow nonprofits are now struggling. So I see it as almost kind of like a two-pronged thing for us. So, for example, like Housing Transitions and Youth Service Bureau, they both receive federal funding. So if that funding stream goes away, what's happening to those people they're serving? What's happening to their staff, right? They're probably going to need more help. And most people, when they're struggling financially, need food is the easiest place to make up some of those dollars in the first place you're going to cut in your budget, right? Because you can see that impact almost instantly, right? Instead of turning your electricity down, your heat, like that doesn't make the same kind of impact as not buying organic apples, right? So we're kind of bracing and anticipating if that funding goes away, there's a population that we're going to need to help that are going to be more vulnerable. On the other side, the USDA cuts are affecting kind of other programs that we benefit from in like a more trickle-down kind of way. So Central Pennsylvania Food Bank receives that USDA funding that they're cutting. They use that to purchase local produce from farmers and dairy, they can't make that difference up, so they're not going to be able to purchase that product. They sell that product to us at a discounted rate or give it to us for free, right? So if they don't have it, we don't get it either. So it's kind of like this trickle down, right? It hasn't hit us yet, but we're kind of waiting for it, the ripple effect, to get to us.
So indirectly, mm-hmm. you're going to be affected.
I think so. The lunch program is the other side of that USDA cut. And I know I don't want to speak for State College, but I'm pretty sure State College School District doesn't participate in that free and reduced lunch program. A couple districts in Center County do. So we're kind of wondering, what does that mean for those families? Yeah. I'm still unclear. I've not figured that out, what that impact means for those families. But there will be an impact, right?
From a volunteer standpoint, yep. How are you doing? Is there a need for more volunteers? Are there particular times or particular things that you would welcome extra volunteers?
We don't have a great opportunity for like big groups. So if people have groups, I would say I'm sorry, but we just, the way our program runs, we don't have a great way to facilitate group volunteering. However, if there's an individual that's really interested in wanting to give some time, typically our volunteers have like a weekly schedule that they come in like the Monday morning or Monday afternoon. And if people are interested in that, they should always reach out. We can never have enough volunteers.
And is a lot of it just sorting? What are the I guess?
So like the volunteers that are there right now are sorting our retail pickups. So our van drivers, we need van drivers. If anyone's listening and wants to help drive our van and go to the grocery stores and pick up boxes of food, you give us a call. It's a very physically taxing job, and we have some very dedicated volunteers who are doing that. But we'd love to lessen the load for them a little bit. So the van goes out this morning, is picking up our retail donations. We have volunteers back at the food bank who will sort that when it comes back. So a great example would be like if there's a 5-pound bag of potatoes and one of them is kind of gross and moldy, they're going to take that gross moldy potato out and compost it and then save the rest of them. And then we also have volunteers here there that are like sorting the donations that came in, right? They're checking for labels. They're checking to make sure that they pass like food safety, right? There's nothing wrong with the seal. And then they're sorting it by date and then stocking the pantry for distribution this afternoon. And then in the afternoon, we have a bunch of volunteers who come in to help give out the food, right? And that's a much more client-centered job, right? They're interacting with the people we serve. They're helping with nutrition. They're helping kind of create the welcoming environment that we really strive to have.
So you have a van.
Yeah.
All right. So in other words, if somebody's like, yeah, I'd like to help. Mm-hmm. They don't need to use their own vehicle. They would be driving your van.
Oh, to pick up retail donations?
Right.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
They need to be comfortable driving a large vehicle.
And I guess lifting and hauling and stuff like that.
Yep.
All right, well, a lot of lifting.
For sure.
And how often do you go to local stores?
3 days a week.
Okay.
Yeah. And we go to Wegmans, both Walmarts right now, Sam's Club, Target, Aldi, Weiss.
Now, with all this chaos going on, I mean, grocery stores would somehow pull back on some of this stuff, would they? I mean, they're going to keep giving stuff to you 3 days a week.
Yeah, I mean, the stuff they're giving to us is stuff they don't necessarily want to sell, right? So,
okay.
But it also, they don't want it to go to waste.
All right. So it's, I mean, there's no possibility. I'm just thinking, again, with all the chaos and however long it lasts, that people pulling back, that all of a sudden you're not getting in as much stuff as you need from various places.
It's very possible. I feel like that's kind of this trickle down, right? We don't know what to expect right now. I think it's safe to assume food prices are either going to stay where they are or keep going back up. Right, like look at eggs, that stuff is still so variable. So for us, we're kind of at this point of like, we know we're going to be serving more people and we know it's going to cost more money. how do we balance that out? I don't know what that's going to look from a retail side. I know like, I'm trying to think during like the pandemic time, we weren't picking up as much, right? Because we were trying to like lessen contact. So I don't know if that's a good predictor of what the grocery stores might look like. I have no idea. We're going to continue to be grateful for what we receive and hope that the grocery stores still have product for us.
Now, do you do, I don't know, projections? Like we think this summer it's going to be 700 families or 750 or, I mean, is it possible to do something like
that? It's interesting you said that. So the food bank just went, when we moved, we started a new strategic plan, right? And we've been discussing some of the steps in that process and kind of evaluating what's happening in the county and trying to figure out if there's gaps in services in certain communities or what is that, you know, prediction of what's going to come up. And we're trying to figure out how to figure that out, essentially, right? We know from, like, the ALIS data with the United Way that at least 43 or some number like that percent of the county is either at the poverty line or above it and still working and unable to meet all of their basic needs, right? So we could argue that if however many 43% of people of Center County is and we're serving this many, there's still this group of people that haven't been met. So we're in the beginnings of trying to figure that out.
What was that percentage of people again?
It's like 43. I would have to double check it. I think it's actually gone up. I think that was the percentage last year.
43% of all people
in Center County are either at poverty, at or below the poverty line, or in the ALIS population, which stands for Asset Limited Income Constrained. So it's people who are working a full-time job but still don't have enough money to pay their bills. Or they're living paycheck to paycheck, and then one big something happens. They need new tires, or they have, like, a medical procedure that their insurance doesn't cover, right? And it's $3,000, like, and they don't have that money in their savings because they're living paycheck to paycheck, right? So you very quickly could fall into that poverty cycle of, right, you can't pay your bills and you can't get to work and then you lose your job. It's just,
yeah. Wow.
It's a slippery slope. So we, like, that's why we have no income guidelines. Our goal is to reach anybody, and if someone can save 2 weeks worth of groceries and put their money aside to take care of themselves so when their car does need tires, then that way they're not, yeah, hopefully they're able to get through that without having a lot of more challenges in life.
Holy smokes. Now, Elaine, I'm thinking about my old job when I worked central and northern PA and did a lot of traveling. Center County's like the top, like the best, like the, you know, most money. I'm thinking Clearfield County, Huntington County, Clinton County, Elk County. If it's 43% here, I can only imagine what it is in these other places.
Yeah.
It must be really bad.
It's really hard.
I mean,
and I think Center County is very fortunate. We have so many amazing nonprofits. It is, like, so humbling and so special that we have so many people and programs that are dedicated to helping and to making, yeah, sure people can stay on their feet.
Now, do Penn State students, how do they fit into all this? Do they get food? I mean,
we serve Penn State students. They have a pantry on campus, the Lions Pantry. They run a little bit differently than us, but they're a wonderful program, and we kind of they're really a neat program for us because we are very collaborative in, like, sharing food, right? Like, sometimes we have excess and we give it to them, and sometimes they have excess and they give it to us, and it's a really great relationship. We do serve Penn State students. They have more requirements to get food from us. They have to get a referral through the Penn State Office of Advocacy, Student Advocacy. So that's the only way they can kind of get to us, is if they need extra food. Their Student Advocacy Center is saying, okay, this student is going to Lions Pantry but still needs additional help.
Okay, all right, because obviously from August to, well, just about now, end of April, there's, what is it, 40,000 people? That's quite a few folks.
Yeah.
I've never been to Lions Pantry. I've been past it, so
yeah,
I know where it is.
Yep.
And I just wondered, you know, how many kids are these folks serving? And it must be a decent number.
They're serving a lot. I don't remember off the top of my head, but it's roughly around the same amount. More than what we're serving 500 households. That's not individuals in each family, yeah, right? They're serving individual students weekly. So,
do you ever see a situation, Elaine, where you might actually go out of business, where you're not needed?
No. I think that's my whole kind of perspective on it, right? If we're truly going to make sure there's no food insecurity in our county, we have to exist, unless our whole economy and world just does a 180 and stands on its head and does things really differently, which I don't foresee happening. So
yeah,
there's no way to yeah, we have to exist.
Okay. Which was the answer I expected. Yeah. There's always going to be a need there. All right. Well, I guess my final question, let's do a recap again. How can people donate? How can people volunteer? How can people get involved?
All that information is on our website. I just would send anyone there who's interested in learning more. It's scfoodbank.org. And people can drop off in-kind donations, right? They can look at our website for current needs list. They can also, financial donations go a long way, right? While we need food, we still need to run the electricity, to run the freezers, to hold all the meat that we get from the grocery stores, right? That is really valuable to us. They can volunteer. They can just awareness. I think that's another really big piece for us, helping spread our message. We learned through our capital campaign and this move to the building that there's still a lot of misconceptions about what we actually do and how we serve and who we serve. So helping spread that word that we are here, we are ready to help. And there's no situation that we're not willing to help tackle and figure out how to help somebody. So that's really important. And then everyone can come visit us April 24th.
That would be awesome. 11 to 1.
Yes, 11 to 1.
All right. And again, this is Gerald Street, which is out near the Nittany Mall. If you know where the Burger King is, it's right along the road. Turn at that light, curl around, top of the hill.
Can't miss us.
Left at the stop sign.
All right, there we go. Well, Lane, appreciate your time coming in.
Yeah.
And I guess in a sense, I don't envy you because I think you have a lot of work, extra, more work coming up because we'll see how long these different situations go. But appreciate you coming in this morning.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Good to see you.
Folks, if you can help out, this is one where this is not some far off place you're helping out. You're helping out folks right here in Center County. And if you can do that, like Elaine said, hey, they're waiting for you. That would be great to help them out, either with donations or volunteering and helping. That would be awesome. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll have open line time for the rest of the show. Streaming down the stream or whatever. I'm not very good with
boats. I think we're getting close to
with
being
boats
back on the
or something. Let's talk. Oh, let's get out of here. We'll be right back.
Finally, the soundtrack of summer is returning to the airwaves here in Happy Valley. And it's doing so right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This year's Pittsburgh Pirates offer a mix of veteran stars.
Andrew McCormick has won it! They're going crazy! The Pirates have won this game!
And perhaps baseball's newest shining star.
The 2-2. He got him, and he's done it again. Paul Skeens finishes strong.
Every game all season long brings the promise of new excitement.
The Bucks walk it off in grand fashion.
Don't miss the action of Pirates baseball this season. The Buccos are back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
The Jolly Roger!
The Center Hall Farm Store is ready to meet all of your feed needs. Whether you're feeding livestock, pets, wildlife, or birds, stop in and let the Center Hall Farm Store provide the best food options for the animals in your life. And with winter coming, now is the time to stock up on wood pellets from the Center Hall Farm Store. Check them out in person at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall or online at centerhallfarmstore.com. That's centerhallfarmstore.com. 110 Allison Street in Center Hall.
The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority is proud to support local sports here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Check out our website at centercountyrecycles.org for employment opportunities, upcoming events, the authority's newsletter, and details on what can and can't be recycled, as well as updated schedules. That's centercountyrecycles.org. Once again, the website is centercountyrecycles.org.
It's the Kubota Orange Day sales event at Daughter Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. Friday, April 11th, 8 to 5. Saturday, April 12th from 8 till noon, test drive equipment. Get the best deals of the season. Get 10% off all in-stock parts along with door prizes and giveaways. And do not forget the pancake breakfast. from 8 to 11 both days. The Kubota Orange Day sales event features zero down, 0% APR for 84 months on select Kubota models. On some models, you can save up to $3,500 with cash purchase. Just ask the Kubota experts at your destination for Kubota. Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. Mark the dates on your calendar for the Kubota Orange Day sales event of the year, April 11th from 8 to 5, and the 12th from 8 till noon. Daughter Equipment, your destination for Kubota. 0% APR financing now through 6/30/2025. See Daughter Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 or go to KubotaUSA.com for more information.
The Fox!
And we are back on a, we get to talking off the air, back on a Wednesday morning. Again, very nice looking. It's just, you know, chilly and all. Do have some open phone time here, for the final couple of segments. 814-954-7266. We'll get you into the big show this morning. A couple of programming notes. Again, Pirates baseball, this afternoon. The Buccos will wrap up that series with the Cardinals. That'll be a 12:10 airtime right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. See if the Pirates can close out this homestand with another victory. I think, yeah, with the win, they'd go 500 in the homestand.
There you go.
We'll take that. It's something.
Yeah.
It's all about 500 in Pittsburgh these days. The Penguins looking to finish up with a four-game win streak that could get them to 500 on the season. And again, we will have a live coverage of the Frozen Four tomorrow. And we'll be talking with Joe Bautista tomorrow morning ahead of the Frozen Four at 9 o'clock on Let's Talk. But our coverage will get underway at 4:45 tomorrow afternoon. It'll be Western Michigan and Denver at 5 o'clock, and then Penn State and Boston University will face off at 8:30 tomorrow night. Let's head to the phone.
SM is back on, by the way.
Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk. Yay.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm in the element. It's a beautiful sunny morning, but it's cold out. So it's the old natural dialectic catching up with us. But hey, I want to, you know, you guys have done an excellent job with your interviews. You've had great guests, very expert, very you know, informative in their 30-minute discussions. And I don't know. I just don't quite understand why me and Chucko are the only ones calling in.
Because you like to hear your own voice.
I guess. I was talking to Jeff earlier. I think we're just of a different generation. We actually turn on the car radio.
Well, that too, frankly.
Yeah.
That too. You're right.
It is a in every way. It's a changing world for sure.
I mean, back in the old days, yeah, did we have a lot more callers in the old days? Yes. Do we have a lot of listeners? Yes. Did we have a lot more callers in the old days? Yes, because that was, I'm thinking, before the internet, when we were interconnected in different ways and people didn't mind picking up the phone and calling in. These days, folks are a lot more passive, I guess I use that word.
Yeah.
They're used to sitting back and having things delivered to them instead of necessarily going out and getting involved. It is a thing where people are just, I guess, a little different these days. They just are. But we appreciate you and Chucko.
Yeah. I think I heard, I don't know if it was on your station or another, it was your station, because I listened to the guys at, the 5 and 6 o'clock hour. It's just some young guys. When I say young guys, 30 and 40.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
those young whippers.
What I like about their show, and I can't quite remember the name, because they're always kind of, pushing and needling one. It's always about kind of joking. But what they do is they don't cover sport, which is a break from the 24/7 sport channel. and they kind of delve into cultural things. Like, I think the last few days they were talking about movies and whatnot.
Yeah.
And they were mentioning the fact that their kids, so they're 40, so their kids are what, 10 and 15, and they don't know how to answer the phone. And they don't have to actually talk to someone face to face and order a meal. So
yeah.
He was saying, like, I'm forcing my kids to talk to people.
I'm not an expert by any stretch, so take it for what it's worth. I do believe, and I'm pretty firm in my belief, that part of, not the entire reason, part of what we're seeing with the mental health crisis, and it is a mental health crisis with young people, is the lack of personal interaction. Talking to human beings. I mean, we've talked about this before, and it's not just young people, by the way, not just the kiddos, but it is amazing when you go to restaurants, for those that still go to restaurants, and that element of society is changing, for sure, has changed and is continuing to change. But when you go to a restaurant, the number of people who are sitting around the table and just staring down at their devices and not talking with each other, or if they are talking with each other, it's through the device instead of, hey, how is your day? And looking directly over at the person. It's just amazing to watch. And again, I'm not saying this is the sole reason that we have people struggling, but I do think that we are social creatures, and even those of us that are antisocial and, no, I don't want to be out, I don't want to be out in public, you need friendships. You need people that you can talk to, that you feel you can rely on, and it may be just one or two close friends, relatives, whatever, but I think we need that as human beings. You need that interaction, you need that communication, the verbal communication, I just think it's part of maintaining your health overall. And I just see too many people that aren't doing.
I'll interrupt you. So, unfortunately, I don't have children, but I grew up in a household of 9 children. And I saw what my parents had to do to keep us all well-fed and kind of harmonized and moving in and out of the door. But as a grad student, if I had to text and digital record and put out for everybody to criticize every stupid thought I had going forward in my research, I don't think I would have got out of the gate. I mean, I had to ask stupid questions. I had to ask somebody in an oral fashion, what do you think about this? And I had to get feedback, and I had to kind of maneuver, interact. And what I'm saying is I did that orally. It was face-to-face. I had a trust in friends in the graduate program, friends in my advisors. And they didn't hold it against me if I asked a stupid question, but I was progressing through the research project. So what I'm saying is if you put everything in a digital format, it's the worst of both worlds. You think it's oral, but it's not oral. It's digital, and everything you say digitally will be used against you. So
yeah,
I don't know. Yes.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. Yes, I agree. So, all right.
I appreciate the phone call. And appreciate your listening.
And call again. All right. All right. We'll take a break here. Again, our FM is back up. Woohoo. Yay.
Got that going for
streaming.
Us.
Again, we record virtually all our shows, although I'm not here tomorrow. I need to do something else. And by the way, I'm jealous. You got Joe Bautista tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, talking hockey and stuff. Daggone, I'm going to miss that. We record nearly most of our shows. Put them up on our website, 987thefox.info. You can check them out there. Right now, though, we're going to take a break. We'll check things out when we come back.
Finally, the soundtrack of summer is returning to the airwaves here in Happy Valley. And it's doing so right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This year's Pittsburgh Pirates offer a mix of veteran stars.
Andrew McCutcheon has won it! They're going crazy! The Pirates have won this game!
And perhaps baseball's newest shining star.
The 2-2. He got him, and he's done it again. Paul Skeens finishes strong.
Every game all season long brings the promise of new excitement.
The Bucks walk it off in grand fashion.
Don't miss the action of Pirates baseball this season. The Buccos are back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
The Jolly Roger!
Your home for local sports. We are Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This spring we'll have live coverage of Center County baseball and softball. With the long, strong traditions of great players and great teams in our area, you can follow this season from opening day through the state championship. All right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. We wish all of the local athletes the best of luck in the upcoming season. Stay tuned for more local sports right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Lycoming Supply Incorporated, located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, is looking to hire numerous carpenters, laborers, and operators starting immediately for the construction season. Lycoming Supply is a reputable contractor that has been in business since 1948 and is family-owned. Lycoming Supply specializes in building bridges, box culverts, and also performs demolition work throughout the mid-state region. Having a CDL is preferred but not necessary. Stop by their office located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport and fill out an application and have two forms of ID ready. Lycoming Supply is an EEO employer. You may mail a resume or visit their office at Lycoming Supply, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. for more information. Lycoming Supply Incorporated, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 today.
Recent changes to analog phone lines have increased faxing costs dramatically. With cloud fax solutions from Doing Better Business, you can now have a reliable, scalable method, which is great for compliance. XM Fax integrates seamlessly with our Ricoh and all multifunctional devices and provides a secure, shared experience with automatic workflow routing. Take your faxing to the cloud with Doing Better Business. Our solutions and service teams are ranked in the top 10% of the country for customer satisfaction. Visit us today at doingbetterbusiness.com.
It is a Wednesday morning that we have in play here. A final segment of the big show this morning. Jeff and Scott with you. It's Let's Talk on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. That their phone number is 814-954-7266. 814-954-7266. If you want to weigh in on, well, just about anything that's on your mind this morning.
And boy, there's nothing to talk about.
Mm.
And we've got about 8 minutes. Again, I won't be here tomorrow. You will be with Joe Bautista. Oh, dang, I'm going to miss that one. And then we've got open lines on Friday, so if you want to chime in. Yeah, people are different today. Things are different today. I mean, I had to make a stop to the supermarket yesterday. Won't name the store. Had to make a stop to the supermarket. And so I'm, you know, got my little cart, and I'm picking up a few things. And I passed multiple store employees that their job is to be somebody else's shopper.
Yeah.
In other words, they've got a cart there,
yep.
And they've got, you know, bags, and they've got a list of somebody, I don't know, not email, but it's through a website. They got a list of things. So-and-so wants these items, all right? And so this person is going around, all right, here with the middle of this, and they grab that, and so on. And then the person, I guess, comes in at a certain time. They pull in a certain spot. They report they're there. Somebody brings their food out to them, and they go home. Nothing wrong with that. We would have never done that a few years ago, before COVID. We would have never done any of that. All right? It's a whole different world. I mean, and again, all this tariff stuff, I call it tariff-palooza, whatever you want to call it. I mean, some of these tariffs, we'll see what happens with them. And, of course, if you follow this in media, oh, my gosh, people are going wild on this. Isn't it interesting? Now, if I assume most of us have an IRA or a mutual fund or something like that, retirement fund, and, yes, for over the past, what, 6 days, 5 days, it's been, you know, kind of wild. Wee, you know, Wall Street just going bananas, and you got talking heads on TV, doom and gloom and all this sort of thing. Not all of them, but some of them, doom and gloom. Isn't it interesting? We're the regular folks, all right? And we, you know, put money every month into our account, and hopefully it grows, which normally it does, okay? Maybe not the past 6 days. But the same people who have told us forever, right? All right, there's downturns. That happens. All right, just stay the course. You're going to be fine. The numbers will go back up again. Those are some of the same people that are like, woo, over the last 5 days. You know, they're like, oh, my God. Oh, you know, talking heads. Oh, this is dead. Oh, that's the end of America. No. No. Okay? No. Now, most of us have common sense, I hope. And we realize, okay, we've been down this road before. We have. It's different, but we've been down this road. For goodness sakes, folks, you remember COVID? Five years ago.
Trying to forget.
History is a great teacher. Mm-hmm. And things, remember the Wall Street? Because we were all stuck at home. 5 years ago. Remember that? And it's like, oh my God, this is the end. It wasn't the end. Everything's just fine. Go back to the 08-09 recession, if you can think back that far. Remember, things back in that stretch were pretty bad. Now, let's go way back. For those of you old enough to remember October of 1987, as I recall, it was on a Monday. The stock market essentially crashed. In one day, it went down, I think the total was 23% in one day. Boom! And we're all like, what the heck just happened? Oh my gosh! And for a day or two, we're like, oh no, this is horrible. What happened? What happened in 87? The 2000, I think it was 2000, the so-called dot-com bust. Remember that in the late 90s? Everybody was all wound up about the internet and computers. Oh, this is wonderful. Oh, we're going to make so much money. Oh, let's start a website. Oh, we're going to make money. And it got ridiculous. And finally, people started to understand this is ridiculous and busto. And we had like a little mini recession right there when the dot-com thing just finally... What happened after 87? What happened after 2000? What happened after 08-09? What happened after 2020? It took a little time, but everything went right back up again, didn't it? So for anybody out there panicking right now, don't. Just sit tight. Now, there are some panickers, all right? I got this story, all right? In my hand right now, I'm holding an iPhone. I like Apple stuff. I'm holding an iPhone. One of the instructive things about this whole episode, again, once again, is where's most of our stuff made? Folks, it's not made here. Okay? Like my Apple iPhone that I'm holding in my hand right now, pretty sure made in China. Okay, fairly certain, made in China. Well, Mr. Trump and company now have a 104% tariff on China. Okay, let's double the price. That's essentially what 104% means. Let's double the price of whatever, okay? So I've got this story here that apparently, now this is wholesale, not retail, all right? You and me, we buy retail. Wholesale is what does Apple pay for a phone from wherever in China? It says here, this could go from $580 a phone to $850 a phone. I don't think they're going to sell a lot of phones. Apple, of course, is doing all kinds of shifting right now. And again, I didn't know any of this. I knew they did stuff in China, okay?
Oh, yeah.
But according to the story, they're now trying to switch things over to their other manufacturing plants in Vietnam, Thailand, Malaysia, and this one's interesting, Ireland. I'm thinking, Apple makes stuff in Ireland? I didn't even know that. How about you bring it back here? Well, according to the story, if Apple brought all their production back here, the price of an iPhone would go through the roof, like to you and me. Poof. Too expensive to make here. Oh, great. Wonderful. Okay. So, again, don't go crazy. Don't go wild. Don't buy into some of the stuff you see on television. All right? Just don't. Because we've been down this road before. There's an economic downturn, and the Wall Street people are going wild. And we find out that billionaires have lost so much money. Yes, my heart breaks. So does yours, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, my heart breaks for them. They have plenty more money where that came from. And they're smart enough to know that every other time this has happened, give it some time, whoop, up it goes. So stop the panic. Stop the binge buying. All right? Oh, for goodness sakes. Oh, quick. Paper towels. Oh, my God. Go buy paper towels. Toilet paper. Oh, my God. Go buy toilet paper. Okay, if you want to go buy toilet paper because you need it, good. That would be a good idea. Okay? That would
very important.
That would be a very good idea. Okay? But hoarding, it's like the only question in my mind is how long is this going to be? I mean, the report yesterday, 70 countries have already reached out to us to say, hey, let's make a new trade deal, all right? Because they realize how important our economy is. They want to be a part of it. They know that we like to buy stuff. They don't want to be left on the sidelines. So, okay, yeah, let's make a new deal. Okay, yeah, the trade deficit, yeah, that was a little ridiculous. Yeah, we know we've been taking advantage of you. But let's make a new deal because we don't want to lose you as a great customer because we're the best customer on earth.
Yep.
Yes, we are. So just take it easy. The only question in my mind, how long is this going to go? Yeah, between us and China, this could get ugly. Everybody else, they want to play ball. All right, let's play ball with them. I think that's the whole purpose of this deal to begin with. That's it. In other words, it's working. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
I said that out loud. Hey, folks, have a terrific Wednesday.